Hello, everyone. This is Bob Main, your host of today's survival show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms and to strengthen your resolve. We make preparedness and self-sufficiency simple, not extreme. No conspiracy theories on this show. We keep things practical, common sense on how to live a more secure life, personal responsibility, taking your life pretty much into your own hands as much as you can. That's what we talk about, and this is episode number 50 of today's survival show. I can't believe it's number 50. I'm kind of shocked, actually, that I have pushed this record button 50 times to talk to you about how to live a better life. You know, I would have never dreamed on August 3rd, when I did my first show, August 3rd or August 4th, that after 50 episodes that the listener count would be continuing to grow. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, because this show is about you. And the reason I do these shows is because you keep listening, you keep tuning in, you keep sending me good feedback and good comments, and I try to incorporate those into the shows, and that's what it's all about. So I thank you very much, and if you are a first-time listener to this show, you have tuned in to a voice of reason in a chaotic world, and what a chaotic world it is. I know we're coming close to Christmas. Let me take this opportunity, before I get carried away with this show, let me take this opportunity to say to all of you, Merry Christmas. It's a great time of the year. And I'm not real politically correct on this show, so I am going to indeed repeat that one more time. Merry Christmas. I'm not saying Happy Holidays, I'm saying Merry Christmas. Now, all walks of life are welcome on this show. I appreciate everybody, no matter what your political beliefs are, no matter what your religious beliefs are, whatever your ethnicity is, excuse me, it doesn't matter. I want to welcome you and thank you. But I am a Christian person, so I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I hope that you don't take offense to that. It is a wonderful time of the year. Whether you believe that Christmas is significant or not, this is a time of giving. This is a time when people are generally friendly to each other. This is a time when it seems like at least once a year, people get into the giving mode and they take care of each other. So while I remain positive, I'm going to talk about both ends of the spectrum today. I'm going to talk about some positive stuff, and I'm going to talk about some negative things, because I'm pretty worried. This is the first Christmas that I can remember where there seems to be so much more problems and negativity facing us than there ever has been. And that's what concerns me, and that's what I want to speak to today. As many of you may know, if you've been listening to me long enough, I'm 48 years old, and this is the first Christmas in my lifetime where I'm extremely worried about what's going to happen between now and next Christmas. The road that we are headed down, not just the United States, but the world, and we as a people, it's a very scary, scary road. And I know this is a positive time of the year, and it's supposed to be, but I some of this, what I'm going to talk about today, is such reality that although I'm a positive person, I am also a realist. So that's going to be pretty much the subject of today's show. Before we get into that, I do want to make a couple of announcements. As always, as I mentioned, join the forum, www.todayssurvival.com/forum. You can go to the main page, todayssurvival.com, and click the forum button. And also, in just a couple of days, we're going to wrap up the first segment of the SAC Club, Survival Activist Club, SAC. And I'll tell you what, the responses from elected officials just continue coming in. Several weeks ago, I launched the contest, and I asked all of the listeners to get active, that part of our duty as survivalists, no matter what country you live in, is to get active in the government process. And here in the United States, that's what it's built upon, part of what I'm going to talk about today. And if you don't do that, you're actually not taking advantage of a survival tool that you have. Because, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to admit it or not, what the government does in your country does impact your life, whether it's directly or indirectly. To ignore that is to really do yourself a huge disservice. So thank you to all of you. And in a few days, I'm going to give away the first two prizes of the first level in the first segment of the SAC Club. So I will be actually probably not doing a show that day, but I will put an announcement on the main blog page and also on the forum page as to who the winner is, and get their prizes sent out as soon as possible. So thank you for all of the responses on that. And if some of you still want to participate, there's still time to participate in the first segment of it. Go to the main page and check out the posting. Click on SAC Club or go to the forum and you can read all the rules and read all about it. And many thanks to Jeff Lytle, the owner of knivesandgear.com, for contributing and donating one of the prizes that we are going to be giving away. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Check out his website, knivesandgear.com. All right, that concludes the announcements. You know, let me recap the last couple shows. In episode 48, I played a couple of 20-minute speeches for you. One of them by an attorney, one by a police officer, explaining why you have the Fifth Amendment right to remain silent and not talk to the police if you are questioned for any reason, whether you're innocent or whether you are a suspect. And I hope that you understand that that is a right that you should take very seriously, the Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. And, of course, in episode 49, I did a brief introduction, and I played about a 20-minute speech, which was President Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address speech in 1981, where I hope that you found that he gave us some pretty profound information that was from 29 years ago. And isn't it amazing about that? What's amazing is we haven't hardly made any progress in 29 years, folks. That's what I find so shocking. When I listened to that a couple of days before I posted it, I said to myself, 29 years have gone by, and we hardly have made any progress from that day. We've had ups and we've had downs, but who can honestly look at where our country is today and say that we're any better than we were in January of 1981 when he gave that speech? We're not. Isn't that a shame? The trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that have been spent and the debt piled up just recently, much less over the last 29 years. And we have not made any progress. And when I say not any progress, I mean no progress really economically. And with respect to our freedoms, we've taken several steps back. And we're going to talk about that in the major topic of today's show. How sad. It's extremely sad to see. And the events that have been happening lately in our country, the legislation, the healthcare legislation, the most recent humongous spending bill. I have an 11-year-old son, ladies and gentlemen. I really worry for him. When he is 48, when he hits my age, I am really concerned about the world that he's going to live in. You know what's frustrating, and you know what really, really hacks me off about that? Is that I'm just one guy with one voice and one microphone right now. And there's only a very, very small amount that I can do about how my son's life turns out. Now, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. My wife and I are going to parent him to the best of our ability and try to teach him while his mind is young and fresh and willing to receive the information. We're going to teach him to not only be self-sufficient, to not only take his life in his own hands, produce as much as he can for himself, and take advantage of the God-given freedoms that he's been given. But when he gets into his 20s and 30s and 40s, his mind is going to be assaulted. And I know that. And my wife knows that. And any of you who are listening to this show that have children about my son's age, you know it too, don't you? And I know you're afraid of it. That's the bad news. The good news is you can do your part. And you can probably have enough influence on your children or your grandchildren. If your kids are grown and gone, but you've got grandchildren that are my son's age, by doing your part, you can make a huge difference in their life. And that's what we try to teach on this show. I don't know how many freedoms that he's going to have left by the time he gets to my age. But I sure hope that he takes advantage of every single one of them. But my concern is what our young people are being taught. And what they've been taught for the last 30 or 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, is why we are in this situation today. And, you know, a lot of us like to blame the government. And I'm going to point the finger a little bit at the government in this show. But really, we also have to point the fingers at ourselves who are parents and grandparents, don't we? We can't just blame the politicians for what's wrong with our society today. They do bear a large portion of the blame, yes, but they don't bear all of it. However, with that said, let me take some time here to talk about our government. And I'm going to finish off this show talking about something that doesn't have to do with our government at all. But let me talk a little bit about it for now. First of all, I just got done reading a fantastic document recently that I want to share with you. One of the best documents I've ever read. In fact, I've read this for the fourth time. And it doesn't take very long. It's actually a pretty short document. And that is the United States Constitution. How many of you listening to this show, if you are citizens of the United States, how many of you have ever read the United States Constitution in its entirety, not just bits and pieces? I got to tell you, if you have never read it, please stop this podcast right now. Don't listen any further. Get on the internet, search United States Constitution, and read it. Doesn't take very long. I promise. It's really not that complicated of a read, either. And I'll tell you what blew me away the first time I read it, and what blew me away again just recently when I read it. What really shocked me is how much it doesn't say. That's right, how much it doesn't say. Our politicians hide behind the Constitution so much that they have for many, many, many years been doing things and passing laws that are completely 100% unconstitutional, and they've been invoking the Constitution when they pass those laws. That's the shame of it. Did you know that the Constitution does not give us the right to have health care? Health care is not a right, ladies and gentlemen. That notion has been so perverted, it's sick. Social Security is not a right, granted to us by the United States Constitution. Unemployment insurance is not a right granted to us by the Constitution. Owning a home is not a right granted to us by the Constitution. Medicare is not a right granted to us by the Constitution. So much of what we have is not guaranteed to us, yet politician after politician from both sides, Republicans, Democrats, conservative, liberals, whatever you want to call them, I don't care, they keep saying, they keep trying to make us believe that it's our right to have these things, and it's not. These are privileges. The Constitution does say we have the right to, as we've heard so many times, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But remember the key word, pursuit. The Constitution does not guarantee us happiness either. But it guarantees us the freedom and the right to pursue happiness. Yet, so many government officials from both sides, and folks, I'm not just picking on one particular political party here. I'm not saying that the Republicans have it right or the conservatives have it right, and I'm not saying that the Democrats have it right. I'm saying that they all have it wrong most of the time. There are very few pure constitutionalists left in our government, unfortunately. Now I'm going to play a clip for you a little bit later in this show by someone who is a pure constitutionalist, and unfortunately this man does not hold elected office right now. I wish he did, and I won't mention his name right now. When I get to that part, I'll talk about it. But these so-called rights that we have are not granted to us. And again, focus on what the Constitution does not say. And you have to understand in 1787 when it was written, what the framers were trying to get away from. You have to understand the oppression that they were trying to get away from. They were actually trying to get away from exactly what we are headed for today. The regulation, the intrusion in our lives, the oppression. And if you don't think that we're being oppressed, I got to tell you, think again. We're being oppressed in many ways. We're being oppressed economically. Folks, did you know that inflation is on a major rise right now? The media is keeping that quiet. Inflation, as it should when the government does ridiculous stuff that they're doing right now, the spending and the out of control spending that they're doing right now, inflation should rise. And if you don't think your taxes are going to go higher than you have ever seen them, and I'm not just talking about your federal income tax or your state income tax, but I'm talking about every other way that you get taxed. When you go to the store, when you buy gas, no matter what you do, you're taxed and you're double taxed. And if you don't think that those are going to go sky high, think again. And our privacy is being invaded left and right. And if I remember correctly, it was the previous presidential administration under Bush that eroded away some of our privacy as well, did they not? And it's been going on for many, many years. This has become major news in the last few years. This is what the framers of the Constitution were trying to get away from. This is what they didn't want. And even though it's taken well over 200 years, let me tell you something. That's really not very long when you look at other countries and how long many other countries out there have existed. Our country is just a baby. We are just an infant compared to how long some of the other civilizations have existed. Yet, as fast as we were able to declare and win our independence, we are losing it And we're losing our country just as fast as we were able to make it. And that's what's unfortunate. And this great beacon of hope that President Reagan and other presidents before him talked about is transforming from a beacon of hope to something that's pretty scary. The old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, I'm afraid, is going to be true for the United States. And unfortunately, because we have such a large impact on the rest of the world, unfortunately, when we fall, and folks, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we fall. So will many others in the world. Now let me give you a taste. I'll shut up and I'm going to give you a little taste of what's going on. You may or may not remember this from a few years ago, but I'm going to play an audio clip for you. And some of you who are like me, who are firearms enthusiasts, and you're worried about your Second Amendment rights being taken away from you, you might remember this from approximately 3 years ago. Carolyn McCarthy, I think is her name. She's the one that's been trying to bring back the assault weapons ban. Congresswoman. And she was interviewed about 3 years ago. And she was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And she was talking about bringing back some of the weapons ban, one of the weapons ban bills, excuse me. And she was asked about a barrel shroud. And why a weapon with a barrel shroud should be banned. And instead of me explaining what she said, I'm going to let you hear it for yourself. So here we go from a few years ago. This is a short clip, but listen to this. Listen to it two or three times if you have to. You know, rewind it a little bit and just listen to it two or three times. And I got a few comments when it's over. But here you go. Have a listen, and I'll be back on.
In February, you introduced the Assault Weapons Ban and Law Enforcement Protection Act of 2007. It would regulate semi-automatic assault weapons, including weapons that have pistol grips, a forward grip, and something called a barrel shroud. Weapons with a barrel shroud would be regulated. What's a barrel shroud, and why should we regulate it?
I think the more important thing is that it also would have had banned the large capacity clips that
right.
Colin Ferguson had
but
used, and also the killer.
Okay. But I read the legislation, and it said that it would regulate barrel shrouds. What's a barrel shroud, and why should we regulate that?
The guns that were chosen back in those days were basically the guns that most gangs and criminals were using to kill our police
okay.
officers. I'm not saying it was the best bill, but that
okay.
was the best bill
they
could get out at that particular
is?
Time. I actually don't know what a barrel shroud is.
Okay,
I believe
it's
a shoulder thing that goes up.
No, it's not.
Now, what did you think of that? Isn't that sickening? Isn't that just absolutely disgusting? These pinhead lawmakers, like this woman, that want to ban these firearms that they say are dangerous, don't even have a freaking clue what some of these features are that they want to ban. Come on! At least if you're going to ban something, at least know what it is. And you know what the problem is it's not just with firearms. It's with almost any piece of legislation. Lawmakers now don't even have a stinking clue of what they're voting on. Come on, who read the 2,000-page health care bill? There are actually a few people in Congress who have, but whatever happened to the transparency? And again, I'm not just picking on President Obama. Because I don't care who is the president and what party that he or she is from. If you stand up when you're campaigning and you say, I'm going to have the most transparent administration in history, and you go back on those promises, if you say that nobody who makes less than $250,000 a year is going to get a tax increase, and you know that he's going to have to renege on that, When are we finally going to have a president that keeps his or her campaign promises? Anyway, I don't care what party they're from. President Bush broke a lot of campaign promises. President Clinton broke a lot of them. President Bush, before him, broke a lot of them. They all do. Yet they say they're government of the people and by the people and for the people. Baloney. That is trash. Anyway, these people have no clue what it is that they're legislating against or legislating for. No wonder confidence in the federal government is at a 30-year low. Now, as I was reading the Constitution, I paid particular attention to the amendments. Because obviously, it was not a perfect document when it was originally written, and amendments had to be made. And without burning up a whole lot of your time, folks, because I don't really want to make these shows too much more than about 30 minutes, I want you to do an internet search as to what the process is to amend the Constitution. It's a very, very difficult process to create an official amendment to the Constitution. So therefore, government lawmakers have decided that rather than amend the Constitution, as this next speaker that you're going to hear talks about, instead of amending it, because it's a very difficult process, and probably 95% of their amendments that they want to make would never fly, would never pass muster. Instead, what they do is they just arbitrarily pass laws that are unconstitutional and let the courts figure it out. And let me give you a little civics lesson here. Some people know this, and some don't. You'd be amazed how many people don't know this. That we do indeed have three separate but equal branches of government. Those branches being the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The legislative branch, or excuse me, the executive branch, the President of the United States, the legislative branch, the Congress, and of course the judicial branch, the court system. Who makes the laws? Congress. The courts do not make the laws. The courts are to interpret the constitutionality of the laws, and that's it. The executive branch sets the agenda. A lot of people have the misconception that the president makes laws. The president doesn't make a single law. All he or she does is sign the document when it gets to his desk. After the Congress, who's supposed to be representing the people's interest, but don't anymore, the president signs it. Now, the president could veto it. But when's the last time we've had a presidential veto on a major important piece of legislation? That doesn't happen anymore. I remember vetoes used to happen a lot. Seems like presidents don't have the cojones anymore to veto important pieces of legislation, do they? Anyway, that's the basics of how the process is supposed to work. But Congress passes a lot of unconstitutional laws. And they've been doing it for many, many, many years. That's right. Congress is passing unconstitutional laws. And you know what? The 9th and 10th Amendment of the Constitution basically says that, and you're going to hear this next speaker talk about it, so I'm going to give you kind of an outline. It basically says that whatever powers are not granted to the federal government are reserved to the states. And that's why in the previous episode, you heard President Reagan say in his inaugural speech that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. Congress, who's supposed to make the laws, has overstepped their constitutional authority for decades. Here's the problem, is nobody's holding them accountable. We, the people who are supposed to hold the majority of the power, are not voting these turkeys out of office when they screw up. You know why? Because until the last two election cycles, pretty much less than half of the people who were eligible to vote would actually go vote. And we're not much more than about half of the eligibility voting now. We're not too much higher than that. And therein lies the problem. Okay? So listen to this next audio clip. Judge Andrew Napolitano, one of my favorite people, and definitely a strict constitutionalist. All right, listen to this interview with him. And listen to what he says about the unconstitutionality of many of the laws passed by our own Congress. And for some of you, like for my listeners from the UK, our Congress is very similar to your Parliament. All right, so listen to this interview with Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Time now for the Diamond District here on Happy Hour. The problem many people have with health care reform is that they don't think the federal government will do a good job of running it. Big surprise, right? We have such a high distrust of government right now. Many people just want them completely out of their lives. They say, what gives the government the right to intrude into my life so much, especially if I don't want what they're offering? Where in the Constitution does it say that the government must provide health care to Americans anyway? Well, who better to ask that question than Judge Andrew Napolitano, joining me in the Diamond District today. Hi, Judge. Great to have you. Okay, so of course I go back and reacquaint myself with the Constitution today.
Right.
Granted, you know, it was written a long time ago, you know, back in 1787, ratified in 1788, September 17th. Yes, I was doing some homework today.
Yes, you were, young lady.
In your honor. They added a lot of amendments. There was a lot of controversy, you know, stuff they didn't cover at the time. Slavery, they didn't talk about that in the Constitution. A lot has changed since then, but yet it is the foundation of our country. It does give Congress the right to pass laws, that makes no mention of health care. So you're saying the Constitution does not allow for Congress to pass any type of health reform laws.
Well, that's correct. I mean, there's a couple of basics here. One, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Why do we say that? Because it says so. So it is superior to any law enacted by Congress, and any law enacted by Congress that conflicts with it, the law must fall. Second, everybody in the Congress, in fact, everybody that works for the government, from a janitor to the president, takes the same oath to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
When I was questioning Congressman Jim Clyburn yesterday on my radio show, Brian and the Judge, Jim Clyburn is a Democrat from South Carolina who's the number three ranking Democrat in the House. Where in the Constitution do you get the authority as the federal government to regulate health care? He said to me, Judge, most of what we do down here in Washington is not in the Constitution. We do what we think the people want and let the courts worry about whether it's constitutional.
Which,
and
that's true, right? That is true.
It is a candid recognition by this congressman that he and his colleagues don't care about the Constitution.
Well,
even though they took an oath
far
to oppose it.
I don't know if I would say they don't care, all the lawmakers. I would say that it's a reality, it's a fact, that yes, that a lot of what they do, environmental laws, I was trying to think of all these laws that aren't expressly stated for or accounted for in the Constitution.
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples.
It gives Congress the power to make laws, but it doesn't say which laws.
I'll give you a couple of examples of laws that affect everybody every day that the Congress has enacted. The strength of the water pressure in your shower. The size of the toilet bowl in your bathroom.
Right.
The number of legs on your desk chair. These things were enacted by Congress, even though they're nowhere in the Constitution.
Okay,
when I pointed this out to Congressman Clyburn, he said to me, well, Judge, there's nothing in the Constitution that says we can't enact health care. In fact, there is. There's the 9th and 10th Amendments, which specifically say whatever powers not directly given to the Congress are retained by the people in the states.
But, Judge, that would be nearly probably two-thirds of the laws that they've passed.
Correct.
Since the Congress.
Correct.
Since the Congress. So, I mean, are we really having a ridiculous conversation here?
No, but why do they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, to
Understood.
Preserve, protect, and defend it if they don't care what's in it?
But if all the laws aren't stated in the Constitution, you're saying that we should not pass any of those. We
no,
should rescind all
let
those
me,
laws.
Let me backtrack a little bit, Rebecca. There are 17 specific, precise, delegated powers given to the Congress in the Constitution, and it may legislate in those 17 areas. Health care, water pressure, toilet bowls, and desk chairs are nowhere in those 17 powers.
As well, along with probably 90% of all the other laws that they pass. Judge, thank you very much. I know you've got to run. Thank you for joining me.
So what do you think of that? I can't say it any better. So I'll just let you ponder on Judge Napolitano's words for a while. Now, having said all this, I know I've been talking pretty negative here and been playing some pretty negative stuff. Let's talk about the positives, because after all, Christmas is right around the corner. And by the way, folks, as you're gathering with family around Christmas time, as I imagine that most of you will, I've said this many times, take time to stop and smell the roses. Be thankful that you have a family, even though you may not like some of them, even though you may not agree with all of them, even though there could be some tensions. Be thankful you have a family. There'll be many people that will be spending Christmas alone, unfortunately. Okay, I said I would talk about positive stuff. Here we go. Amidst all of this stuff that is going on in our world and the trash that we have to deal with, here is something that, thank God, at least here in the United States and many of the other countries that listen to my show, at least we still have a very, very important freedom that has not been taken away. And that is our freedom to choose. That is our free will. That is our freedom to make our own decisions, to truly live life the way we want to live it, as I always say when I open this show. To truly put our foot down and say, that's it, that's enough, I can't take it anymore, I'm not going to take this oppression, I'm going to take life into my own hands. And by the God-given freedom and free will that we have been blessed with, we can say, we're going to do everything that we can to make our lives better, regardless of what these jerks try to do to take it away from us. And by proper preparations, as we have talked about in the previous 49 episodes, by storing food, by storing water, by providing for our own self-defense, by producing some of our own food and raising some of our own animals, by learning first aid, and by paying off our debt, and by investing wisely, and the list goes on and on. There's over 400 topics on our forum. Every topic on our forum pertains to how we can take control of our own life. And that is a freedom that has not, and probably, I hope, won't be taken away from us. That free will to choose. So you don't have to let them get to you. And as the old saying goes, you don't have to let them see you sweat. And so, my friends who are listening to this, I want to close by saying, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm going to be talking to you and I'm going to be doing some shows, at least one more show before Christmas. because I have a special Christmas message that I want to communicate. And I'll be doing some shows after Christmas. But the positive side is, we can choose. We can live life the way we want on our own terms. And there are ways to get around the oppression that is going to continue to get worse. So hold your heads high, friends. Keep the smile on your face. Stay positive. And thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow. This is Bob Main. This is episode 50 of today's Survival Show. Thank you for tuning in, where we help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. Making survival simple, not extreme. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll catch you next time.